Welcome to the Old Chicks No Shit podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Artherton. This podcast is dedicated to helping midlife women step into the inherent power and wisdom of a time of life when they often feel overlooked and underrepresented and even begin to doubt themselves. Each week, we will cover information and inspirational topics along with real stories from real women who are defying cultural stereotypes and perceptions of midlife. Women who are reinventing themselves, starting businesses, chasing their dreams, and tackling challenges they never thought possible. Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Old Chicks No Shit podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Artherton. And today we are going to be talking about a really interesting topic, and that is that dating advice is actually life advice. So with me today, my guest is Treva Brandon Scharf, who is a certified life coach, a dating and relationship coach. She is a former fitness competitor, the owner of the Late Blooming Bride blog, and now a published author with a book out called Done Being Single. And if you're watching this on video, you can see she's pointing to it right behind her. And I wanted, like, this book is a memoir of Treva's journey to finding her guy, the one, and getting married for the first time at the age of 51. And you mentioned, you know, in this book, you include hilarious dating tales, cringeworthy mistakes, and all of the things that you've learned all the lessons from, which is what you are sharing in this book. So welcome, Treva. I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you so much. And it's so fitting I should be here with you today because it's actually my 9th wedding anniversary today.
Oh,
so thank you. And I cannot believe it's been 9 years. I mean, for those of you out there that have been married for 25 plus or not, you know what an accomplishment it is. I feel like I cannot believe I've been with someone for 9 years. I mean, I am such a late bloomer. I think my longest relationship was when I celebrated my second year wedding anniversary. That was my longest relationship.
Wow. Okay?
So how about that? Put that in perspective. So yeah, here I am 9 years later and still learning. It's still a mind blower. It's still crazy. When you've been single for as long as I was and you finally do it, it's like, it's surreal. It's still weird. Wonderful, but weird.
I can imagine after the majority of your life, like your whole entire life, adult life, being single, and now you're married. And so can you tell us a little bit about like your journey to find the one? I mean, I know there's a lot in the book, but just like, how did you meet your husband and how did you know after all that time of being single that he was the guy that you were going to marry?
To be honest with you, by the time I met him, I was so fed up and burned out that I could care less. And I wouldn't know. I mean, my instincts proved me wrong so many times. I thought I had met the one a million times before I had met Robbie. And I didn't. Right. And I was wrong. So he comes into the picture and I had given up on marriage. I thought I'm not marriage material. So that in and of itself allowed me to relax a little bit and exhale because I didn't care. You know, I turned 50 and there was a kind of a surrender that I felt, which was so freeing. And it came very naturally to me because I was so burned out that I just didn't have it in me anymore. So I thought, fuck it. I'll just surrender to being 50 and single for the rest of my life. And that was actually a very good thing that I did. I had no idea at the time it would actually free me up and open a space for someone to come in. But lo and behold, that is what happened. So we started a date and I had no expectations and I had no goals and I had no plans and I had nothing, no sort of agenda or MO or anything because I just didn't care. And I just wanted to enjoy myself and not have all the angst and all the tumult that comes with a relationship and wanting to get married. It was off the table. So it was actually my husband who drove for the first time. You know, I was so used to being in the driver's seat and that I just said, I'm not, you know, whatever happens, happens. I'm giving it up. And he's the one that kind of pushed and drove it and led, which was so refreshing. because I just was so tired of feeling like I was pulling teeth all the time or twisting arms and wanting to know, where's this going? Where's this going? I didn't care where it went. And so he's the one that said, I love you first. He actually asked me permission. May I say I love you? I was like, oh God, yes, you can. And I said, I love you too. And then 6 months after we met, he asked me to move in with him. And wow. I said, oh my God, thank you for that. Was so sweet and so flattering. And no, I will not move in with you, because I, at that point, I had really done a good job of getting my shit together at, you know, at 50. Yeah. This is it. I am locked in. I love my life. I created this beautiful single life. I have this lovely person in it that's complimenting already what I've built. No, I'm not moving in. I don't want to play house with you at this time unless I have kind of a firmer commitment. Not at all expecting and wanting a proposal, but it just so happens that he got up from the conversation and went over, I talk about this in the book. He went over to his office area. He was living in a loft at the time. And this was the purpose of the, of moving in, of asking me to move in, because he lived way, way, way downtown LA and I was in Beverly Hills, which was quite a commute with traffic. It took forever. And so to save rent and time, he said, move in. And that's how that conversation got started. Mm-hmm. And then when I said, no, thank you anyway, he got up, went to his office area in the loft and retrieved something out of a bag. I don't know what. I just kept hearing like this, came back to the couch and put a ring on my finger. Oh. That was his mother's. He had some of his mom's belongings. She had passed away a few years earlier. And he said, would you marry me? Oh. That's how it all happened. It was so completely unexpected that it took a good couple, many minutes for me to get my head around what he had just asked me. And that's how it happened.
That's so beautiful. And I want to dig into two things you said, which I find very intriguing. The first one you said was, and I think I've heard a lot of women say this, you know, they're single, they're not having success in the dating world. And they say, I must not be marriage material, as in they turn it kind of on themselves rather than like, I haven't found the right person. I must not be marriage material, as in it's me. Like, do you see that in your coaching world and with the women that you talk to?
Oh, sure.
And why do we do that? Why do we turn it on ourselves?
Oh, because, I don't know, we are conditioned. Failure often just sort of trains us to turn it back on ourselves. And we feel like, you know, if it's not happening, it must be my fault. That's human nature. That's just not just women.
Right.
It is. I feel very strongly, though, about, you know, most of breakups really don't have anything to do with you, and particularly online stuff. I mean, even before you get off the ground, if you feel rejected already and already broken up with online before you even get to that first date, which is usually the case, right? Because you're talking and you're connecting with, or you're, you know, messaging with people online, and most of the time it never goes anywhere. And how can you not sort of take it personally, right? Like what, how can they not like me? Well, no, it's not you. But then sometimes it is you. Sometimes.
I was just going to say, it's a bit of a double-edged sword, because yes, you have to take responsibility for, you know, what's happening in your life, because we are the creators of our lives, right? But by the same token, I think there's a difference between taking responsibility and turning it into a negative, as in there's something wrong with me, because I think both can be true. Like, you can take responsibility without being wrong.
Sure. I say it all the time. Self-acceptance is hugely important to in the equation. Okay. Self-acceptance is self-improvement. And I say that in the book because it is to accept yourself for as you are, who you are. I mean, that's really attractive. That's actually, that is, you know, wow. If you can do that, I find it is very attractive, male, men or women, to say, hey, I'm comfortable in my skin, you know, But with that said, I think it's really important that we all kind of do the work, the inner work, and that occasionally we do hold up a mirror to ourselves and we do look at our own red flags, because we're so used to looking at other people's red flags and judging other people. I come from a long, many years of fitness. I am a lifelong athlete. I was a fitness trainer. I am currently a group fitness instructor. I still do it. I still have a foot in it. So that's my jam. Okay. Mm. So I'm all about getting people in shape, getting them fit, helping them lose weight. You know, that's who I am. That's in my DNA. And I'm an athlete as well. Okay. Right. So the process never really stops. Even elite athletes, even elite athletes have coaches. They can still get better. They can still improve. Yeah. So yeah, we all have something to learn. We're all a work in progress. We should never rest on our laurels.
Yeah, for sure. And the second thing that you said, which again is an intriguing concept, was about leaning out, completely like leaning out and like letting go of, you know, trying to find your perfect mate. Because in the world of, you know, how to get a guy in 10 days, how to do strategy, how to that strategy, and your strategy was the complete opposite. And that's actually, for the record, exactly what worked with my partner, right? Like I was so uninterested that I was just like, I have no idea where this is going to go, but whatever, right? So like, how did you like, I mean, obviously that works in many, many different aspects of life, but this concept of like leaning out and being unattached to the outcome, I think is kind of the secret of that.
Oh, yes. Yes. And if you can do it, you know, more power to you. Not easy. It's not easy to let go and to surrender. It's not easy to detach from the outcome when the outcome is all you want. I mean, I wanted to get married for the longest time in the worst way, and it just was not happening. So here's the key I think everybody needs to understand with surrender and detaching from the outcome. It is imperative that you still believe in love. You cannot give up. You cannot give up on love. You cannot give up on yourself. You might have to do is accept a different version of it. You know, accept like a different way of maybe you're looking at love, not maybe too pigeonholed. It's too, you're too focused. You're too hyper-focused on, you know, a version of love. Okay. Maybe you need to widen that. Maybe you need to accept something different. Some different, you know, variation of it. So in the same breath, I say you must keep believing in love and keep believing in yourself. You must also make the effort. There's always effort. You know what I mean? You can't give up. You can't just, I mean, I'm all for quitting when the work or when the drive or when the quest is getting you nowhere, which is what I kind of did. I sort of quit, but I didn't give up on love and I didn't give up on myself.
I mean, that in itself is like just an important piece of life advice, because I think so many times, you know, we have a picture in our mind about what we think the thing is going to look like, whether it's the relationship or the job or whatever, right? And we're so focused on that being the way that it is that we miss the little nuggets and like crumbs of something else along the way. So in the dating situation, we might turn down people because, oh, well, he doesn't look like I think he's going to look, or he doesn't have the job that I want him to have. Meanwhile, we're bypassing people who could be incredible in other ways that we haven't even thought of yet.
Right. So with Robbie, you know, he came into my life. I was in the right frame of mind. It was the right time. It was the right place. He just, would it have happened 10 years earlier? I don't know. Is he someone that I, obviously he was, you know, in my wheelhouse. I dug him. I mean, he was funny and cute and warm and loving and all that. So it's not like I went completely off, you know, against type. He wasn't, you know, he was definitely somebody I'd look at. But yes, to your point about widening your net, you know, widening your search, there is something to be said for dating against type. Okay. So keep that in the mix. Along with, yes, being focused on what it is that you want. There was something else I was going to talk about now, but okay, it'll come back to me.
It'll come back around. It always comes back around.
Yes.
So what are some other kind of top dating advice tips that are also life advice tips would you share that you learned on your journey?
Oh my gosh. Stuff that you would use for life. Okay. Like, and I'm remembering what I wrote in that blog post about, I'm just going to pick out a few that really did help me. Like, for example, staying on the path of right action. Not doing stupid shit. Okay.
Obvious, but not, well said.
don't do, you know, you all watching this right now, Jennifer is so smart. This show is so smart. Anybody watching, viewers tuning into this right now, you all are smart. Okay. You know, okay, what is like, nah, probably not advised. Not probably, you know, good for you. Don't forget that. Stay on the path of right action. Don't put yourself into harm's way. Don't date stupid people. Don't, I mean, you're just delaying the process, right? So, and sometimes we have to do that. We make mistakes because we need to learn. Mm-hmm. And I did all that shit. Like I, here's one. Okay. Don't shit where you eat. Okay. Don't. In your work, it's, oh man, I don't even want to tell you how many ridiculous situations I got myself into because I got involved with people at work. That's a no-no. Right. Okay. Not good. You know, ill-advised choices, make good choices. You know better. Okay. That would be like one of the top things. Boundaries. This goes tail, like sort of on the piggybacks onto what I just said. Boundaries. Having good, healthy, set healthy, good boundaries for yourself with anybody, including your own family and friends. Okay. I don't know. Making sure that you don't give away everything, that you aren't putting in all kinds of energy and not getting anything back. Making sure your needs are met.
Yeah.
Making sure you're not being taken advantage of. Those are boundaries. These are things that one would, you know, obviously need for life to survive and also just to survive being single.
So boundaries is an interesting topic because I feel like as women, especially, we're not taught boundaries. Like we usually learn how to put up boundaries the hard way, right? Like after we've been run over a few times, because we've been cultured to believe that our value is in everything that we do for other people and being nice and playing nice and not rocking the boat and always saying yes to our own detriment.
Yes.
Right. So learning how to put up boundaries is often very foreign for us. Like, how did you learn? Like, is there an incident in your story where you learned the importance of boundaries, or how did you learn that boundaries were important for you on this dating journey?
Well, I'm a bit of a people pleaser to begin with. So I really had to still am.
Yep. Okay. Recovering over here too.
I'm codependent all the way, babe. And I got to keep those, you know, instincts in check. Okay. Say no. There is power in saying no. There is power in just setting your boundaries. There's power in saying, wait a second. I'm not going to get involved with this person's, you know, drama. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get involved with someone with drama. Oh my gosh. I have to be careful. I still have to be careful. I mean, once a coach, always a coach, right? It's, I got to be careful not to go coach on people. I have to control myself. I have to control myself from trying to fix my husband's problems. Yeah. So, you know, when it comes down to it, you are only responsible for you. Do the best you can, make the effort, let go of the rest, right? Check in with yourself. I would say that if you're hearing the same feedback from people, if you tend to sort of be creating patterns for yourself, if your choices seem to kind of fall into a little bit of like a pattern, that's something to look at. That is definitely so. And you will know that because you will be so self-observant and self-reflective that you will go, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. There's something, you know, if you don't have the ability to self-reflect and self-analyze, enlist a good friend
right.
to give you some feedback, to say, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying, listen, I keep striking out. Can you tell me what's up? Because I don't know, there might be something I can fix a little bit, or like a little tweaking. And that really helps a lot. And that's a good friend who will do that for you.
That's a very good friend who will do that for you. You know, it's interesting, as you were talking and you're talking about patterns, I remember, you know, when I entered the dating world after my divorce, I would find myself in my dating life in repeating situations, right? Like it would be like, wait, why am I facing this again? Right? Like, why am I in this situation? Right? And it was kind of this series of shit show dating and relationship failures, let's call them. But it was also the same thing happening in my life, right? Like where, you know, situations were happening and I'm like, okay, now it's happening over here. And then one day I was like, okay, wait a minute, sister. Like, you are the common denominator in all of these things. And if you want your life to be different, you have to start showing up differently in it. And that was when I hired my first coach, because I was like, okay, I obviously can't see myself, quite obviously, because here I am repeating the same patterns over and over again. And I need somebody to like call me on my BS yes. and like help me see the things that I can't see.
Yes.
And I will tell you, I was not expecting how difficult a process that was going to be and how confronting a process that was going to be.
Yeah.
No, right. To actually look at myself in that way.
It takes guts.
I'm glad I did it.
Yes. No, it takes balls. It takes guts.
It does.
And I praise anybody who contacts me wanting to improve and change and grow and learn. Not easy. There is an admission of, you know, help. I'm vulnerable. I'm, you know, and just that alone is like, oh God, congratulations. Just even admitting that you can improve is righteous, awesome. I wish I had someone. That's not true. I did have people kind of like me. I often say I wish I had me talking to me when I was that other person. But the truth is, I did have very like different variations of me, of coaches along the way. I wasn't completely without support and help. So I would say, you know, in whatever form it comes, seek it out. It has been a journey. So you learn a little more, a little more, a little more, you know, you get further along your path, however you find it, books, podcasts, coaches, any, you know, wherever you can get the learning and the enlightenment, it all adds up.
Yeah.
Be open
it really
to
does. It. And yeah. And I think, especially as we're entering like kind of this midlife chapter of our lives, you know, where so much is shifting and changing, like inside us and outside of us, right? We're going through a process of unlearning, and it's unlearning a lot of ways of being, ways of thinking, right? That have we picked up along the way. And those are the things that are unconsciously getting in our way. And I mean, in my own process, like I've had to like really call myself up short on a lot of ways that I showed up in the world. Right? Yeah, like, why do I do that? Like, how can I not do that? How can I even just be aware of that? Which I feel like in the dating world would probably be a little bit more personified, because there's this like need for love and attention as humans. And I'm not necessarily saying this in like necessarily men or women, but as humans, we need to be loved and accepted, right? Like that's just core to who we are.
Of course.
So there would be extra urgency on top of that is what I'm saying, right?
Sure, sure. You know, I read a lot of dating content, particularly from younger, more like millennial writers. And there's this whole movement out there to like more power to the single people, which, listen, I was a single person and I'm all for it. I support single people all the way. And yes, I do see this, the stigmatism and the discrimination. I see it. I know it. Firsthand. With that said, I'm also going to say it's awesome having someone. I love being in a relationship. I love being married. I love having someone. I'm unapologetic about it. Okay. I did the single thing. I did it. I proved it. I could do it. Okay. I'm a great single person, but there's nothing wrong in wanting love, to be loved and give love.
Yeah.
And you can't ever stop that. You know, that's what I was saying. Don't give up on yourself. Always believe in love. Don't stop putting forth the effort. I want to say it is out there. It's out there. Okay. So there are billions of people out there, right? How can it not be out there? But in the meantime, be okay with yourself. Yeah. Be comfortable in your skin. be okay being alone. And that's great too, because once you achieve that, like I was saying earlier, there's something really attractive about someone who just owns their singleness and is really unapologetic about being their single, being single.
Yeah, that is so true. I mean, anybody who is confident and empowered in their state, whatever that state is a naturally attractive person, right? Like you just can't help but be gravitated towards them, right?
Oh, yes.
And I know, like even in my own situation, like after a string of really bad relationships that left me feeling like pretty bad about myself, like I turned my current partner down like twice before. Like I was like, I want no part of relationships right now. I'm like, I am done.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like one of my friends said to me, okay, just give it a chance, like just a shot, like just go on this date with, you know, like it's not going to go anywhere. Just see. Right.
Yeah.
And then I kept doing that kind of over and over and over again, you know, and then I was like, oh, look at this. But I felt so jaded at that point where I was just like, yeah, no, I'm not doing it. But I was also in the process of understanding myself and working through that. And self-love is the first love. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Good girl. Applause for you. Thumbs up. You did it right. You did it good. That's how you do it. You know, it gets tiring being single. I know the world well. And listen, it's, if you want it, I truly believe that it is, love is out there. I make sure though, with my writing, with my coaching, and anytime I open my mouth, I'm really careful not to overpromise and underdeliver, because, you know, the truth is, who, you know, it may not happen. It may not happen again. It may not. I had come to that conclusion that I was never getting married, but I didn't let it stop me. And I just thought, okay, life will go on, but I didn't give up on love and I didn't stop working on myself. Because yes, yeah. You're right. You know, you have to, the best relationship you're ever going to have is with yourself, right? The longest one, the most important one is going to be with yourself. So you better enjoy it.
Yeah.
And make sure that it's really solid. Oh, look what hubby just brought.
Oh,
okay.
Look at that. He brought you flowers.
I love you, baby. Oh my God. Oh my God. I love you so much. Happy anniversary. Oh, you're the best.
Oh
my
and
God.
And you got to see it, people, on this show.
Wow. Look, and here I am talking about him and he just comes out and all right. See, I willed it to happen.
You
did. The law of attraction, the power of positive thinking.
Is there a particular dating story from like dating disaster story that you share in the book that you'd like to kind of share with our listeners?
A dating disaster story? Oh, man.
Like, I mean, you probably have a couple, but...
Well, I have, there's one that, is it the one that I messed up or someone, or was like, they messed up?
Like either you or them messed up, but it was like an important realization for you, like lesson learned. Like it stands out as being kind of pivotal in how you moved forward in the dating world.
Okay. You really want the truth?
Yes.
I think, okay.
Give it to us.
I will tell you first a hilarious story about a guy, sort of a big dude in the entertainment industry here in LA. And okay. And so he asked me out and I was super excited because he was, you know, this big producer guy. And so he said, hey, do you want to go see Nelly Furtado at the Wiltern? Nelly Furtado, right? That's her name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Right. Okay. So, and I didn't really know her, but I thought, okay. So he picks me up in this fancy car and we go and then we went to the bar before the show and he said, what would you like to drink? And I gave him my cocktail order. I said, excuse me, I'm going to go to the ladies room and come back. So I come back and he said, hey, listen, I forgot my wallet. Would you mind paying for these drinks? And I thought, oh, well, okay. I mean, people do forget their wallets. So all right. And then I did. I paid for it. And then we went on another date. And this is such a long story short, so I'm going to get to the point here. We had an afternoon date and we ended up at the beach. And then we ended up getting something to eat after at a restaurant down at the beach. And at some point during the meal, he said, hey, listen, I forgot my wallet. would you mind paying? And I thought, oh my God, you're made of money. You're so wealthy and successful. How could you forget your wallet twice? And I said, well, I got to go out to the car and get my bag. He said, no worries. I went out and got your bag for you. And here's your wallet. And he handed me my wallet. And I thought, oh shit, not only have you forgotten your wallet twice, you had the nerve to go get my, pull out my wallet out of my bag. Anyway, that was just a disaster. But okay, here's the worst mistake you could ever make, because I did. I had sex too fast, too soon with a date.
Right.
And I'm going to just say it. That is probably the worst mistake you could make, is have sex too soon. Having sex too soon. Don't do it. Do not. I don't care how hot you are for someone. I don't care how horny you are. And it's not a game playing maneuver. It's not manipulative. It's called self-respect and self-preservation. And if you really like the guy, or guys, if you're watching, you dig the girl, just, you know what? Wait. You cannot go wrong waiting, because it's only going to deepen things. It's only going to make it more special and just better the longer you wait. So that's probably, you know, I can count on this many fingers how many times I screwed up by having sex too soon with dates.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah. I think we've all made that mistake.
Oh God. Yes.
Is that what you see as kind of the most common mistake that women make in the dating world? Or is there?
You know what? I would say just urgency, no matter how you spin it. Being urgent, desperate, in a hurry.
Yeah.
Not good.
No.
Not good. It just, first of all, it's not a good look. And even if you do try to hide it, it will come out of every pore in your body. That feeling like, we got to get a move on here, or we got to hurry things up, or where is this going? Oh, you know, I've had those conversations, like the where are we going conversation.
Yeah.
Which is always just such a soul killer, because if you have to sit down and ask for the talk, that is just so demoralizing. Oh my God. But yeah, I've had to have that, because it's 6 months. Like, come on, man, where are we, what's up? Right.
But I think that's an important point that you make, because the energy of desperation or urgency is actually very repelling, and people meet your energy first. Like before you've said a word, like when you show up in the room, your energy has already presented itself. And if you're coming in with that, like, okay, this has got to be now, I need a husband, you know, blah, 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 that person is repelled, doesn't even know why, right? Because, I mean, we're all energetic beings, right?
Yeah.
And we're absorbing energy from everything.
Yes. Yes. And again, you know, life advice is dating advice. Dating advice is life advice. I mean, anybody and I don't care what it is in life, if you want it to, there's something weird about the universe, how it works, when you want something too much, too bad, too soon, too intensely. It's just odd. It kind of stays away from you. And, you know, it has a way of like coming to you. It just has this beautiful way when you least expect it. And for those who don't believe in that, who think that's bullshit when things happen when you least expect it, sorry, they do. It requires a degree of belief and faith. And I would say, you know what, instead of saying, I believe and have faith that I'm going to magnetize or attract someone is coming to me, which, yes, put that out into the universe. But more than that, put out into the universe, even if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be okay.
Yes.
That will bring them to you just as fast. Whatever happens, I'm going to be okay. You know?
Yeah.
That's some powerful magnetization.
Absolutely. 100% for sure. And one of the best pieces of advice I was given along my journey is like, whenever you find yourself in that place where you're like desperate for something, like it must happen, is to then ask yourself the question, why is it that I want that? Like, what am I expecting that to give me? And when you come to that answer, find other ways to get that thing. So if you think you're going to get validation, then give yourself validation. Like if you think you're going to get, like, find other ways to kind of fill that need so you can pull some of the energy from that. Right. And then it doesn't, you're not like over potentializing or over, you know,
energizing
that one particular thing.
Right. Yes. I think, you know, to your point about wanting love and not being ashamed of wanting love. Okay. Yes, we do. We all want love and we all want validation, and there's nothing wrong with that. I would balance out your need for external, and who doesn't love external validation? Come on.
Of course.
You know,
course.
You wouldn't be human. You're not a robot. You're a human, loving, breathing person. We all want to be validated. We all want approval. Okay. So if it's not through a mate or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, seek it out elsewhere. Surround yourself with loving, supportive people, friends, you know, comrades, teammates, coaches.
Exactly.
Listen, you know, this is what I do. I help people find love and be okay being single. Okay. I did both. I managed to do both. I know how it's done. So I help you breathe. Yeah. I teach you how to breathe. I teach you how to be patient. I show you your greatness. I build resilience. I guide you to get to those places and get those skills so that, you know, if you don't have a relationship with yourself, you will. And if you don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you probably will after working with me. You're that much more along your journey.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, having a relationship with yourself is first key, because once you understand yourself, then you know what it is that you're looking for. But like, if you are just like looking for a mate without fully understanding yourself, like you could be opening all the wrong doors and going on all the wrong dates, right? Like searching for the thing, but you don't really even know what that thing is.
Yes. And I should make the point here. This is super important, everybody, that you can find love while finding yourself.
Yes.
All right. It's not one either or. Okay.
Yes.
It's while you are breathing and while you're relaxing and while you're working on yourself and while you're out in the world enjoying yourself, this is all working on yourself and finding yourself. And yes, you can find love. It happens.
Yeah.
It happened to me.
And it happened to me. Man, I'm still a work in progress on many, many, many things, but you know, it's like you said, I think it's just like finding the enjoyment in your life and like really fully accepting yourself, fully accepting your situation, right? Because then that just allows you to kind of be like, exhale a little bit, which is exactly your story, right? Like you exhaled and the universe delivered.
The universe delivers. Okay. And maybe not on your timeline, maybe not when you want it, but just, you know, I used to have a needlepoint pillow somewhere. I don't know where it is. It said something like, happiness is a butterfly. Okay. This is so, I butchered this. Happiness is a butterfly. Turn your attention away and it'll land on your shoulder. I don't know. It was something kind of like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That you'd find on it. Like, turn your attention away from the thing that you want, maybe a little bit. Oh. Yeah, you'll relax a little bit. You'll release the death grip, you know, the white knuckling. That's super important.
That's actually a beautiful analogy, because if you've ever tried to catch a butterfly, you know it's not impossible. But turn your head away and the butterfly will land on you.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Yeah, it again, not easy, you know, as, you know, to your point about detaching from the outcome.
Yeah.
Super not easy. It takes patience. It takes some training. It's like a muscle. It just takes practice and forcing yourself to not have whatever that goal is in, you know, I'm all for goals. Don't get me wrong, but it's something, there's something, and I'm going to use an analogy here. I've run a bunch of marathons. Okay. And to me, the beauty, the best part of running a marathon isn't finishing it. Isn't the race itself. It's not the race day. It's not the thing. It's the training. Mm. It's the preparation. It's logging in the miles and taking better care of myself. And it's the whole gestalt of it. It's the destination. I know it's been said a million different ways. It's the journey, not the destination. And this is all very philosophical and very spiritual. And your viewers might be rolling their eyes, but I do think that there's something kind of beautiful in like, don't think about the end game. Don't think about the goal. Don't think about the New Year's resolution. These are little micro goals, little micro steps that get you closer to your goal. And that's kind of, that's where the goal happens when you least expect it, because in the process of feeling good about yourself, working on yourself, getting help if you need it, therapy, coaching, you know, making sure that you're out there enjoying yourself, spending time with friends, with family, people that will bolster your ego and your morale, you know, little things that, believe me, they add up. And then all of a sudden, you're at race day. Or all of a sudden you're face to face with that, with the person who is interested in you. It kind of happens like that.
That's exactly the way that it happens, because everything that you've talked about today, you know, so surrendering, right? Like non-attachment, holding the belief, you know, taking right action, enjoying the process as opposed to the destination are all the things that have served me well in every goal that I've had, like from, you know, my health and fitness goals to relationship goals to my business goals to like all of these things. Like every one of these things that you've talked about today are things that I know have personally helped me in pretty much every aspect of my life.
Yeah. And like I said, hopefully it'll yield a mate, a partner, a boyfriend, you know, but if it doesn't, guess what? It will yield a beautiful life. Okay. Yeah. Hopefully it will, you know, like I said, attract someone great. If not, it will attract a great life. Win-win.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. And one of my favorite quotes, I think it's Rumi. That's what you seek is seeking you. And, you know, like when you just like focus on these things, the thing that you want will actually appear in your life. Like, I mean, some of my greatest manifestations have been things that I thought and then kind of forgot about, went about my life. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh my goodness, look at this thing is here right in front of me.
Yes.
Right? But I didn't dwell on it. I didn't focus on it. I didn't say a mantra about it every day. I didn't, you know, like over potentialize it, right? I just kind of said it and then I.
Yes. And that is called manifestation and that is called being intentional.
Yes.
Okay. So I am, a very intentional person now because I feel like, oh, I got it. Like I get it now. I get what it takes. So I'm going to be super intentional about everything I do. And this kind of ties into the boundaries thing. You know, is it going to be good for me? Okay. Or let me put it to your audience. Is it going to be good for you? Will it be productive for you? Will it be healthy for you? Will it further you along your path? I mean, these are questions before you jump in and do something. Is it going to benefit you? These are like super intentional. And then you relax and then, okay, I'm going to let it go. So yes, there is some control. You do have control. You do have free will. Okay. Yeah. So yes, you can be super intentional about the things that you do in life. I just was coaching a client about, we were writing her bio. Okay. And I'm a wordsmith, but I'm, when it comes to writing bios, I'm a copywriter. I go full advertising copywriter, economy of words.
Love it.
Okay. So, you know, you don't have to write reams of text and copy. It doesn't have to be flowery and on and on and on. In fact, don't. Okay. But make those words count. Be super intentional about the words that you choose and infuse those words with your essence. Be super specific about who you are and what you're looking for. And that's being intentional.
Yeah. Yeah. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. Spoken words, written words are very, very powerful. They carry energy with them for
sure. Yes, they do.
Oh, this has been a great conversation. Where can people find your new book, Done Being Single?
Okay. Well, here it is. And
The Late Bloomer's Guide to Love, Done Being Single.
Yeah, babe. Wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I think some airports have it.
Oh, good plane reading.
Yeah, right? Read this book on your flight and you'll walk off with like, you'll get off with a...
A date,
right. You know, wherever books are sold. Or go to my website, which is trevabrandonscharf.com, and you can order it there. And you can find out more about the book and me and read my blogs and watch other interviews and learn about my coaching. And Oh, free gift. Download my 20 hot breakup tips. So yeah,
excellent.
That's there for you. If you want some extra breakup help, I've got really good breakup tips on my website that are free.
Amazing.
Test driven. Done them. Been there.
You know they're going to be good based on
real
life experience.
Oh, yes. I've done them all, babe.
I will make sure that we put all of these links to your book and to your website in the show notes so people can find out more. For those of you listening, if you are seeking love in this next chapter of your life, I absolutely highly recommend that you read Treva's new book, Done Being Single. So much gold in there. Hit the link and go get the book and watch it change your life. Watch it change your love.
Oh my God. And please write a review. Okay. If you do read it. And then once you read it and you guys start to put it into motion, tell me, contact me. I want to hear from you. I want to know if this, everything we talked about today, book or no book, everything you and I talked about today should help. It should help you on your journey. I want to contact me. Let me know. Let us know, Jennifer and me. Okay. If all of this stuff, if any little thing, part of this is going to help, and I think it will, if it helps, let us know. We love stories. Yeah. I'd like to hear from you.
Yeah. So I would love to know.
Report
what
back.
Out of this podcast. Yeah. 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 And we'll all make sure that we share any comments from the podcast with Treva as well, too. So yeah. Oh, this has been a fantastic
This is so good. Thank you on my anniversary. You know what? Thank you so much. I know it's just, it's so synchronistic whatever it is, right?
So
it was so meant to be. Thank you for having me on. I love this. I love you. I love the title of your show. We do know shit, man.
Don't we though?
All right. Chicks,
just
chicks.
We know that we know.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So right on.
So for those of you listening, please go get this book. Read it like Treva asked, just, leave a comment.
Comments.
Write a review.
Feedback. Reviews.
Yeah. Feedback.
Yeah, man. You know, validation, babe.
Yeah. And if you like what you heard today, pass this episode on to a friend, a sister, a coworker, a family member that you think would get something out of it.
Spread the word.
All right. Okay. Everybody, until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Old Chicks No Shit podcast. If you like what you heard, the best compliment you can give is to share this podcast with a friend, subscribe, rate and review our podcast on iTunes or wherever it is that you listen in.